Coming to you from the bridge of Bodie McBoatface, it's the Liberal Arts.
A podcast about postgraduate life and the things we would study if people were paying us.
Please, somebody pay us. Hi everyone, I'm Science.
I'm Cleo.
And I'm Rissa.
And this is going to be a short episode today. We are not doing an entire podcast episode this week. And it's all because of Turkey.
Yes.
Wow, that did not... Y'all were supposed to be
y'all
clever.
Y'all sounded so formal. I thought this was going to be like a joke and you were all like so formal about it.
Someone was supposed to do a punchline.
Okay, so the punchline is basically, normally we have time in the evenings to record, but this week is Thanksgiving and everybody's family is over and Cleo's cooking for like a million people.
And it's so true.
We just met silly early in the morning to record something short for you all.
Rissa, I believe you pulled a fun fact out of thin air this morning.
Yeah, so this is actually something my dad and I were just talking about. My dad's got some extra time off this year, and so he's been home, and we've been chatting. And I was telling him, I've got me and a friend of mine who is a historian once, not Cleo, sorry, I have a different historian.
You have more than one?
I did go to Oxford. Anyway, we created this list of dates to, like, bookmark things by so that, like, I just happen to always remember that 1912 is the sinking of the Titanic. So if something happened in 1902, I can be like, oh, 10 years before the Titanic sank. Anyway, we got to talking, and he started listing off a couple other dates, and as conversations do, you just kind of float into different things. We started talking about historical names, because I mentioned Clovis is one of our dates. So he said something about how Clovis is the same name as Louis. And I was like,
excuse me?
What?
And he was like, yeah, you take off the C, you get Lovis, and the V becomes a U, and you get Louis, and that's where the name comes from. So we were all talking about these different names, and we were talking about, I said how James and Hamish are the same name. And he was like, yeah, it's pretty likely that, you know, like in the Bible, his name isn't actually James. It's probably something closer to Yamish in Hebrew. And then we looked it up in Greek and realized that the name James in the Bible in Greek is Iacobus. And we're like, why isn't his name Jacob? So we're now really confused and debating why on earth you would rename Jacob James? And, like, what are all the Jacobs actually named? And this was my fun fact, is one, names are really weird, and two, how did we get to this place where Jacobus, Jacobus becomes, like, okay, Iesus is Jesus, that's strange enough, but Jacobus, there's a B and a K in there, why are we calling him James?
That is like, very odd.
I'm very confused, and I wanted y'all's opinions.
Jesus, it isn't even like the root there. It comes from Yeshua.
I know.
Yeah, but
well,
it,
the additional problem here is that we are going from Hebrew names into Greek writing and then into English later. But
like Germanic kind of
still. Well, Jacobus.
I like how Hamish is closer to the original.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really funny stuff with names, though. And, I mean, both of your names are Hannah. And
yes.
That's pretty, like, that's pretty uncorrupted, I feel. That's a pretty ancient name that probably hasn't changed that much.
Yeah, the Hebrew is Kana, so.
It's also a word in just multiple languages everywhere. It's great.
Yeah.
What about Marissa?
I'm gonna go on Behind the Name and look up my own name.
I love Behind the Name.
It's a good, it's so good useful. Site.
It's an excellent site.
Yeah, okay, so variant of Marissa, Italian, Spanish, Portuguese, combination of Maria and Lucia. There you go.
Do you mean Lucia?
What? I mean, it's spelled with an S and not a C.
Oh, okay.
In this, so feminine variant of Louis, so the feminine variant of Louis and Maria, which is obviously Mary, stuck together. That's what it is. There you go. Happy?
Yes. Thank you.
Cool. So it's like Italian, Spanish, English, French, Hebrew, Portuguese, English.
Hey, Cleo, do you have a mini colloquium for us?
I do, and I'm so glad that Rissa brought up the issue of translation and language diffusion and all of those fun things, because that's kind of what I want to talk about a little bit to start off.
Nailed it. Did it on purpose. Definitely didn't think of it in the last 10 minutes.
Completely on purpose, especially considering I have not told her a single word of what I'm going to be talking about. The other day, so I teach an English class 2 nights a week. I have students from all over the world, and it's a lot of fun. They're really great. But the other day, I had some people visiting my class, kind of to just get a feel for what class is like. And we were talking with the different students, and they were asking what languages everyone in the classroom speaks. Some people said Spanish, one person said Arabic. And the lady who was visiting said, oh, well, those are two very different languages. They're nothing alike at all. Everyone agreed. Until I looked at them and said, well, actually, Spanish and Arabic have more in common than you think.
Ahaha!
They are two completely different language families. Arabic is Semitic language, Spanish is Latin, but they have a lot of similarities in some ways. So I looked at one of my students, Spanish-speaking students, and said, what's the word for sugar? And he said, azúcar. I looked at my Arabic-speaking student and said, what's the word for sugar? And she said, sucar.
Hey, aha! That's fun.
And everyone had this moment of, what?
Yeah.
So I went on a little fact-finding tour of the internet and could not find anything solidly nailed down because it's the internet.
Yes.
Yep.
But somewhere between 1 in 4,000 words in modern-day Spanish have roots in Arabic. The Spanish word for rice is arroz, the Arabic word is arroz. Shirt in Spanish is camisa, Arabic is camis. Pantalones. But the reason for this is that in 711, an army of Arab Muslims from North Africa invaded Spain.
I'm sorry, are we just going to not make any 7-Eleven jokes right now? I'm trying to think of some, and it's not going well. Go ahead, sorry.
I don't think the Spanish were sitting there going, oh, thank heaven, but
thank you for giving us a 7-Eleven joke.
You're welcome. In 711, an army of Arab Muslims from North Africa invaded and conquered Spain. And they were called the Moors, and they would rule Spain for the next 700 years.
Hey, are these the people that Charlemagne ended up fighting?
Yes.
There was a Moor in Othello, named Othello. And that is the extent of my knowledge.
And so they invaded and conquered Spain in 711 and built a really large kingdom full of lots of learning. This was during around the time period of the Golden Age of Islam, and this was definitely also a factor in Spain. So a lot of learning, a lot of writing and commentating on ancient philosophy that went on in these kingdoms. It was under the Muslim rule of Spain that we get famous philosophers like the Jewish philosopher Maimonides, Ibn Sina and Ibn Rushd, better known by their Latin names, Averroes and Avicenna.
I definitely have not heard of either of those, sorry.
Yes, you have. We read them.
Okay, I believe you.
In 756, the Muslim kingdom of Spain came under new leadership. You want to guess who?
No.
Y'all are boring. Yes.
We're bad at this.
Yes, it's the Umayyads.
Okay, cool.
After they were overthrown by the Abbasids, the Umayyads fled to Spain and built their own kingdom there.
That's always a smart thing to do when you're trying to run a religion, is run away and start over.
Run away and start over. Go to Spain.
I'm just trying to think of how many times this has happened, because it's happened a lot. Let's be real. Let's talk about America, for one.
Yeah, really.
The funny thing is that tradition says that when the prophet Jonah was trying to run away from God, he tried to go to Spain, so I guess, like,
Spain is the default exile location?
Spain is the place to go.
Cool.
Well, I've never been to Spain, but I've been to Oklahoma.
Those are not the same thing.
I too have been to Oklahoma, and I'm now very confused as to what you're
Don't worry,
mentioning.
Two of our listeners will love that reference. Just shut up. Keep going.
Fun.
Yeah, basically, that is the story of how the Spanish language got so much Arabic into it. Basically, that 700-year period of cultural diffusion, and then when Spanish was brought to the New World, it kind of transferred over. So even people from Mexico are speaking random Arabic words that they don't even realize.
That's cool.
That's awesome. If I'm not mistaken, this is also the story of why the so-called Dark Ages are like bupkis.
It's part of it. Yeah, Dark Ages are not a thing. That never happened. And it was funny because I was doing research for this and I found this couple really good short YouTube videos that had a ton of information. I was going to use one of them, but then she started talking about during the Dark Ages. I'm like, nope, disqualified.
No more. It's so funny because literally the only thing I know about the basically Muslims in Spain is that Charlemagne beat them.
He did.
Because I just don't get to hear the other side of history. I hear about Charlemagne because I read the Song of Roland, and that's like the only thing I know about that period is this one epic poem written about a battle way after it happened. I don't get to hear the other side of how they got there at all, or what they did there at all.
A really thriving kingdom, and it's funny because a lot of people like to hold up Al-Andalus or Andalusia, which is the southern part of Muslim Spain that was really the center of their kingdom. People will talk about it being this golden age of religious tolerance and multicultural society, and there was some of that. When the Muslims first came in, they were not necessarily disliked by a lot of people because they were counted in the Visigoths who were in charge before them.
Wow.
There were definitely restrictions on what you could and couldn't do depending on whether you were or weren't Muslim, but at the same time, there was a lot of liberty to participate in intellectual life, in economic life, and so for the time period, it was quite liberating for a lot of people, I guess.
Interesting.
I also know that, like, the scientific learning and the mathematical learning is we owe a lot to where we are today to this time period.
Oh, yes.
Because after Charlemagne beat the Moors, then a lot of that was lost, but it was rediscovered again in the Renaissance, and then white people built on it and called it their own. And that's the story of math.
That's the story of white people.
So, algebra, alchemia, these are all
words. Oh, I know those words.
These are all words that we get from Arabic, from the learning that was going on in Muslim Spain and also in Iraq under the Abbasids, which they also, I mean, the whole history of education is a history of cultural and intellectual diffusion because they took things from India and from China and from ancient Greece and
They got around.
They did.
I mean, they did build an empire years? 100?
Yeah.
Very few.
But it was a very cool time period, and in Spain, like I said, I don't know a ton about it, but I still think it's worth kind of highlighting so that people can look into more if they want to. You all
That's
have homework.
Cool.
You all have homework now. There were people who did not like the fact that Muslims were in charge in Spain, and
shocking.
So, like Charlemagne.
Like Charlemagne, but also like Spanish Catholics. So we have the whole history of the Reconquista, which...
Charlemagne!
No.
Dang it!
No! Which is basically where the Spanish Catholic rulers in Spain tried to overthrow the Muslim rule in Spain, and it took them about 700 years to do that completely.
Wow.
Some were more successful than others.
Some were more successful than others.
Charlemagne!
No!
Dang it! I was prompted that time!
I led you astray, I'm sorry.
He was French, guys. He was
Yes, I know he was French.
He did reconquer a small portion of Spain on his way to, like, drive the Moors out of France, but he didn't, like, launch a massive invasion of Spain.
Yeah, I know, to the Spanish he didn't get rulers. The whole thing. He kind of just got part of the northern bit and then left.
Yeah. He didn't care about Spain.
Honestly, while we're here, can I just... I thought one of the most interesting things from, like I said, the one bit of this history I know, the Song of Roland, is actually how the poet refers to Muslims.
How?
Mohammedites. Mm-hmm. And pagans. He sees literally no distinction whatsoever between the Muslims and the rest of the pagans in, like, the more Germanic tribes. And it's really interesting that they just do not understand Islam at all and do not want to.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's pretty much everyone everywhere whenever you meet someone they don't like. Yep. What's the worst thing they could call you? How about pagan? Okay, fine, now I can kill you. The Reconquista was eventually successful. The two most successful leaders, probably the two most well-known leaders of this, were King Ferdinand of Aragon and Queen Isabella of Castile.
I know those names.
Who are That's responsible because... for ultimately... Don't steal my thunder again.
Okay.
Stop introducing things for Sorry. Me. They are known for completing the reconquest of Spain in 1492.
Ah, 1492, which, I do know.
Which allowed them to free up resources to invest in a nice little explorer who was interested in discovering if you could get to India by sailing west.
The spoilers, you can't.
You can't. I mean, maybe you could, but it would take some, like, really careful navigation.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to go, like, south of Chile, I guess.
Yeah.
Dig a canal, maybe.
Maybe dig a canal while you're around.
So, that's a brief history. Oh, also, all those people who fought in the Reconquista, the soldiers, they were known as conquistadors. And after the reconquest of Spain... They got bored. So they didn't have anybody to fight
people
anymore.
In South America for a while.
So they decided to go conquer America.
And they did a strangely good job?
They did a strangely good job.
Like, I mean, that time they had, like, a ton of diseases to help, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that didn't, you know, it helped.
Smallpox is always helpful when you're immune and your enemies aren't. But,
yikes.
So,
I've always wondered how much of that biological war was, like, intentional and observed, and how much was accidental. Because I'm sure it was accidental at first.
It was accidental at first, but after a while, it was often very intentional.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's so gross.
To the point of, people used to, like,
humanity?
Send Indian villages blankets infested with smallpox.
Why, humanity?
Because we're the worst. We know this.
Yes. So, happy Thanksgiving. On that inspiring note, do you have anything you'd like to tell us, science?
Sure. that's a downer. Anyway, hi, okay, so I don't have a postgrad problem this week, because those take a lot of time.
No
but what
problems.
I have no problems this week. It's great. That's not true. I have to go to court on Wednesday. But...
What did you do? I don't know.
So I crashed my car last week, because I'm an idiot. And which means that I can't go home for Thanksgiving, because my car is totaled. Which, it'll be fine. It'll all work out. I am okay. I was not harmed at all. Just my car. Not even the other person's car. He had a truck. Anyway, so I can't go home for Thanksgiving. So I have something I am into this week, which is Friendsgiving.
Yay!
Okay.
Yes.
I have a question that I've always wondered about Friendsgiving.
Certainly.
Besides the reference to the TV show Friends,
why is
not
it?
Just call it Thanksgiving?
But with friends. Friends.
But with friends.
Because I'm a sucker for a portmanteau, dude. That's all of it.
I guess that works. I've always felt a little strange about Friendsgiving because it makes it seem like it's not really Thanksgiving. Real Thanksgiving, you have to go to your parents' house or something for. And it just makes me a little uncomfortable because, like, there's a lot of people who can't go home. And it makes it seem like Friendsgiving is, like, this weird substitute where you don't get a real Thanksgiving. And I don't know. Maybe that works for people. Maybe people are okay with that. But it just feels weird to me.
Well, as my brother, who is bound and determined to create a physical manifestation a la Santa Claus for Thanksgiving called Uncle Gravy, as he has told me many times, the true spirit of Thanksgiving is unity. Unity of any kind. So yes, Thanksgiving does seem like it should be about family. But failing that, it should be about getting together and being grateful with whoever you have. And I have to say, this group of friends that I'm going to get together and do Thanksgiving with is just, they're wonderful. They have been such a blessing in my life and in Will's life as well. Like, I am immensely grateful for their presence in my life. I do consider them family. So, you know, there's something beautiful about that. You know, if I cannot go and see my actual family, I can find family here because I have family here and they're wonderful and I love them.
That's really
also
good.
I can't even imagine how much food there's going to be. There's going to be so much food. There's going to be so much food.
About the amounts of food for Thanksgiving. Cleo.
Exactly. I think just about everyone is bringing two dishes.
That's going to be a lot of food.
Oh, yes. Actually, Cleo, yeah, you're doing a sort of Friendsgiving.
Yeah.
More than.
We're gonna have a lot of food, too.
Tell us who all you are inviting to your Friendsgiving.
Everyone.
Me? No, I'm not coming. I'm sorry.
I mean, you could come.
Do you know how much driving that takes? I have a job, too. I gotta work the day before and after Thanksgiving.
Ew.
Disgusting.
I
get
the day
sorry.
After. So, I'm having my Thanksgiving on Friday because we realized in talking that many of our English students either have never had Thanksgiving or they just don't have a lot of family, or any, some of them any family, mm-hmm. in the country. And oof. Because Thanksgiving is such a big, you know, it's a uniquely American holiday, it's a big tradition, it just seemed really sad that somebody should come all the way here and not be able to or experience something that's so unique to America. And also to be alone on that day would just sounds, it just didn't feel right. Mm-hmm. So we are having Thanksgiving at the location where we do classes, and we're inviting all our students and their families.
How many students are there again?
I'm not sure off the top of my head how many students
we... Like, how many people then, with their families included?
Around 75.
Can I just read off the list that you sent us, Cleo?
Yeah, sure.
You are cooking 80 pounds of turkey.
Oofed.
30 pounds of potatoes.
Wow.
12 dozen deviled eggs, 6 pumpkin pies, 11 pounds of ham, and 9 pounds of sweet potatoes.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Wow.
Yeah, so, it's a lot.
How many full turkeys did you buy?
Well, I am only cooking 2 of the turkeys.
That's more turkeys than 2. I'm cooking.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone else's. There's a family from my church that's coming. They're bringing their 7 children and 2 turkeys.
Wow.
And then we have one of, you know, my family is coming, and one of the other teachers is coming with her family, and so where everyone's bringing something, and then all the students, we told them, bring some food from your country that you would normally make for, like, a
That's
party
such a good
or
idea.
A celebration. So I'm going to make little place cards to label everything, like, these are from Cuba, these are from Venezuela, these...
Oh my god, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
So
that's going to be the best Thanksgiving.
It's
going to
be
all this
really
American
great.
Food, and then awesome, awesome non-American food to share.
Yes.
Yeah, for real.
Dude, I want to come.
But it's so much driving.
Actually, no. If it's on Friday, I actually do have to. I have to work on Black Friday. It sucks.
Ew.
Luckily, we don't really have Black Friday sales at the wine store. According to my calendar, Philip Hamilton died on Black Friday.
That's so sad.
Well, he died on the 24th of November, which this year happens on Black Friday.
really should not have gone around looking for all those deals.
For all those duels.
All the duels.
Oh.
Thank you for setting that up.
That's beautiful. Hey, thank you for listening to this mini episode. We also want to thank Caitlin Thompson and Tristan from Vintage Lab Tech, and also our friend JD, who suggested the opener. Thank you, JD. If you want to contact us, you can do that at theliberalarts@gmail.com or as theliberalarts on Tumblr, Twitter, and Facebook. And also, we love you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Or what other holidays are happening?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Canadian Thanksgiving was like 2 weeks ago.
That's true.
Do we have any Canadians? Hey, Canadians, email us and alert us to your presence.
Yes, if you are Canadian, please send us an email.
We love you.
We love you.
If you are not Canadian, we also love you. You should send us an email too. Until next time, learn something worth knowing.